Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on The Savage Nation. A little rock and roll from an era when the chrome was thick and the women were straight. Now, I want to open with a conversation about an unrated talk show host, who a wannabe. Mr. Romney called him a third-rate talk show host. It's the first thing that Romney said that I disagree with, because this character from Salem Radio is not a third-rate radio host. He's an unrated radio host. He's on a network. Let's put it to you this way. I'm in the big leagues. There are farm teams in baseball, right? He's on a distant farm team. Everyone on his network is unheard of. They're unrated. And so he sets Trump up with absurd history questions like a history teacher. Now, you got to know who this guy is, this talk show host. He's on Salem Radio, which is a liberal Republican media network, which is why the RNC and CNN chose him to moderate the next debates. Is it any secret? Can you not use logic? Why would you think they would choose an unrated, unknown talk show host to moderate these debates? Why? Another Megyn Kelly in pants, that's all. He's going to ask the same type of set of questions she asked because the CNN RNC team chose him. He is a Romney RNC machine operative. And so what you're about to hear has to be heard in that context. It's a guy who throws a dumb question at a candidate to see if he can trip him up and earn some brownie points. And as I say, this guy is unknown. He is not a third-rate radio host. He's an unrated radio host. His numbers are near zero. He's not in the major leagues. He's on a farm team. And most importantly, he's part of the liberal Republican media network complex. He is part of the Romney RNC machine who wants Trump to go away. Let's listen to clip number one.
On the front of Islamist terrorism, I'm looking for the next commander-in-chief to know who Hassan Nasrallah is, and Zawahiri, and al-Julani, and al-Baghdadi. Do you know the players without a scorecard yet, Donald Trump?
No, I'll tell you honestly, I think by the time we get to office, they'll all be changed, they'll be all gone. I knew you were going to ask me things like this, and there's no reason, because, number one, I will hopefully find General Douglas MacArthur in the pack. I will find whoever it is that I'll find, but they're all changing you. Those are like history questions. Do you know this one? Do you know that one?
I don't believe in gotcha questions. I'm not trying to, quiz
you.
You're
full of it, you weasel.
First day
you're a weasel, you. You always were a has-been.
The election, I'll know more about it than you will ever know. That I can tell you.
I hope so. Last question. So the difference between Hezbollah and Hamas does not matter to you yet, but it will.
It will when it's appropriate. I will know more about it than you know, and believe me, it won't take me long.
All right, so now you know the fixes. And now, by the way, the network that has this wannabe on it owns a publishing company named Regnery, incidentally. And they have great desires to be the leaders in the conservative media. But with a guy like this attacking the leader in the conservative political world, I think they just set their standards down quite a bit. This guy is an unrated wannabe talker on Salem, which is a liberal Republican media network, which is why CNN and RNC chose him to moderate the next debates, period. He is a Romney RNC machine operative, and that's it. And I don't think he damaged Trump at all. I think he just damaged himself. But, of course, when you're on a farm team, it doesn't matter much, because when you're on the bottom, there's nowhere to go. I mean, he can't go any lower than he already is. Ask yourself a question. Why would CNN pick this guy who no one ever heard of to moderate the debates? Why? Why didn't they pick a well-known conservative, Rush Limbaugh, for example? Why didn't they pick him, the great intellectual genius Rush Limbaugh? He could have moderated the debates. He's an intellectual titan on the order of Albert Einstein. Today's book report came in today, by the way. Students at a local school were assigned to read two books, Titanic and My Life by Bill Clinton. One student turned in the following book report with the proposition that they were nearly identical stories. Well, his professor gave him an A-plus for his report. that the Titanic book cost $29.99. The Clinton book cost $29.99. The Titanic book took over 3 hours to read. The Clinton book took over 3 hours to read. The Titanic story is the story of Jack and Rose, their forbidden love and subsequent catastrophe. Clinton, the story of Bill and Monica, their forbidden love and subsequent catastrophe. Titanic, is Jack is a starving artist. Clinton, Bill is a BS artist. Titanic, in one scene, Jack enjoys a good cigar. Clinton, ditto for Bill. Titanic, during the ordeal, Rose's dress gets ruined. Clinton, ditto for Monica. Titanic, Rose gets to keep her jewelry. Clinton book, Monica is forced to return her gifts. Titanic book, Rose remembers Jack for the rest of her life. Clinton book, Clinton doesn't remember anything. There's more to this book report, if I can get to page two. My fingers are not working. Here we go, page two. Titanic book, at the end, Jack surrenders to an icy death. In the Clinton book, Bill goes home to Hillary. Basically the same thing. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Someone sent this to me on the internet. It's funny. It's Rock and Roll Friday. Lighten up. Lighten up. This is the first day of the rest of your life, as we used to say in the 1970s. And it's Open Mic to Mike Friday, which means 855-400-7282 will get you on to Michael Savage. If you get through Jim, you will talk to more people than you've ever met in your entire life. Did you know that? Now let's go on to some other sound that I've been holding for you today and over the week. Some great sound. Let's see. Here's one where I disagree with Trump on. Don't think I'm going to sit here and agree with everything he says. You know, I don't agree with everything anyone says. They're human beings, and they're about to say things I disagree with. On the case of the county clerk who was thrown in jail because she would not marry gays, I disagree with Donald Trump completely. And I will tell you why right after I play this soundbite. Listen to clip number four on the Kim Davis case.
Well, look, the decision came down from the Supreme Court, so I'm a believer on both sides of the picture. I would say the simple answer is let her clerks do it. Now, from what I understand, she's not letting her clerks do it either. The other simple answer is rather than going through this, because it's really a very, very sticky situation, a terrible situation, 30 miles away they have other places. They have many other places where you get licensed, and you have them actually quite nearby. That's another alternative. I hate to see her being put in jail. I understand what they're doing. It would be certainly nice if she didn't do it, but other people in her office do it.
Now, I posted that story on michaelsavage.com with my own headline, and this says it all, so I'll just read you my headline because I'm a very good headline writer. Fascist state jails Christian clerk for refusing to issue marriage license to gay couples. To me, that's the whole story. And the reason I say that is that the iron boot of Obama and Loretta Lynch, the attorney general, who is doing the bidding of Obama, handpicked by none other than the criminal operative, in my opinion, Al Sharpton. Loretta Lynch, the head of the Justice Department, jails this poor woman and says to us that you have to follow the law. I want you to listen to clip six from the spokesmouth, Josh Earnest, who, if there were war crimes trials after this regime is gone, he'd be on the docket along with Hermann Göring. Listen to clip six.
I will just say on principle that the success of our democracy depends on the rule of law. And there is no public official that is above the rule of law. Certainly not the
really?
President of the United States, but neither is the
okay.
Rowan County.
This slime bag, this slimy little man, shut up, this slimy little dribbler, Josh Earnest, says that democracy depends on the rule of law. He works for the biggest lawbreaker in the history of the United States of America. But let's be very specific. The iron boot of Obama jailed a Christian woman, but he will not jail millions of illegal aliens, including criminal illegal aliens, who have been deported numerous times, who have committed one felony after another. Nor has Obama brought charges against Solyndra officers who stole $500 million of taxpayer money. Don't tell me that our democracy depends on the rule of law. You know and I know your boss breaks the law, goes around the law, remakes the law, writes the law, does whatever he wants. And you pick on this clerk because you are, and so is your administration, filled with bullies and cowards. You pick on the weakest people in our society who happen to be believing Christian people. It's that simple. Savage Nation. So I disagree with Donald Trump on that. I agree with him on the third-rate radio announcer. Except, and that I actually disagree with them. because the third-rate radio announcer is not a third-rate radio announcer. He's an unrated radio announcer on an obscure radio network that's like a farm team. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. I've given you already a couple of sound bites. I've given you a little book report. I can overload you with information to make you think I'm smart. It's the mark of a bad talker, is that you get hit with information. And it's so much information, your mind shuts down. So I'll give you something that's easy to absorb, that's not too information-packed. You don't have to go home and memorize the name of the founding fathers of Europe to follow what I'm about to say to you. West is to blame for Europe's migrant crisis, say Erdogan and Putin. They're 100% right. Who's to blame for Europe's deepening refugee crisis? To hear Erdogan, he's the Turkish president, and Putin, by the way, he is the president of Russia, they say it's the West. Both of them are 100% right. The reason that there is a migrant crisis in Europe, it's not because of the West, it's because of Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton pushed the Arab Spring. Let me explain it to you in nauseating detail. Hillary Clinton began by overthrowing Muammar Gaddafi. Gaddafi was a tyrant, an evil man, but he warned us before she had him whacked, when they had him surrounded. He said, don't kill me. He said, because if I go, you will have Libya descend into chaos. It will be warlords running Libya. And Hillary went there and said, we came, we saw, he died. Remember the soundbite? Her and her girlfriends in the sorority decided to kill Gaddafi. For whatever reasons there are, and there are many rumors circulating why they killed him so quickly. Just as there's rumors as to why Saddam Hussein was executed so rapidly with no trial by this great democracy of ours. Okay, but let's follow the bouncing nation. Gaddafi, who's ruled with an iron boot, kept the Islamists in check, is killed by the West because of Hillary Clinton's insane Arab Spring policy, which was funded, by the way, by George Soros, the most evil man in the world. In my opinion, he is one of the, not one of, he is the most evil man on the planet right now. I think he has done more damage to the world than Kim Jong-un. You know, Kim Jong-un makes a lot of statements, but really has almost no effect. He doesn't follow through. George Soros says nothing and damages over almost everything all over the planet on the earth in order to make a profit from it, in my estimation. But nevertheless, Soros, the madman, funds this. The maniac Brzezinski, who was the NSA director for Jimmy Carter, another great president. Brzezinski is the architect of the Arab Spring. Hillary Clinton is the enforcer of the Arab Spring. So Libya falls. Libya descends into chaos. Where do you think all those migrants are coming from Africa from? They're coming out of Libya. Did you know that? Most of them are coming out of Libya. That's number one. Now let's go to Syria. Who caused the civil war in Syria? Again, the Arab Spring. Who almost brought Egypt to the same point? Hillary Clinton and that moron John McCain went there to almost stir it up again to bring back the Muslim Brotherhood. Wherever you turn, it's these lunatics who are maybe well-intentioned, but I'm not so sure of that either. I think they're just stupid. They're idiots. Oh, we want democracy in Libya. We want democracy in Egypt. How about starting with democracy in America? How about starting with democracy back home, Hillary? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I can't turn it on. I don't have the time. I'd love to listen to it. Sorry. Too much to do. We're talking about the meltdown of the world under Barack Obama and the liberal merry pranksters who have wrecked everything they've touched. And now we see a clerk in prison. A clerk, because she wouldn't marry gays. It's against her religion. When there's supposed to be a separation of church and state. And this thing, this creature, the spokesmouth for Obama, Josh Ernst, who is a war criminal for what he's been doing, in my estimation, says that our democracy depends on the rule of law. Now, here is a madman in the White House who has violated the law, defied the law, changed the law, written the law. Moreover, how about arresting the mayors of sanctuary cities who have broken the law repeatedly? Josh Ernst, you liar, you. You liar, you. It's selective enforcement. You're persecuting Christians. You know it because you have an atheist in the White House who hates Christianity. That's the reality of it. Roger on WFTL, what's on your mind?
Yes, I'm dismayed by the vote counting that was done by AIPAC. It seemed to me that the override of a presidential veto would be very difficult to get. That, I think, has proven true for sure in the last day or two. And
what are you talking about right now? I don't know what, sir, what is it you're talking about? We can't read your brain.
The Iran deal that is in the works, and the fact
Hold on. You mean the nuclear weapons for Iran that Obama has granted them?
Yes.
And so you agree that he's granted them a path to nuclear weapons?
It'll happen sooner or later, but my concern is...
But your president said that they're never going to get a weapon, and you just said that you admitted that his deal does give them the ability to develop a weapon. That's what you just said.
Very well might, but again, I have to say, I don't know...
But, sir, are you aware of the fact that majorities oppose this in both the House and Senate? Are you aware of that?
Yes, sure, but not enough to override a veto.
But doesn't it disturb you that if we live in a representative democracy, not a dictatorship, if an overwhelming majority oppose giving Iran a path to a nuclear weapon in both the House and the Senate, then we, the people who have representatives, are being told to drop dead, and the dictator has outmaneuvered them. That's not democracy. That is something else, my friend.
It's following the Constitution. That's what...
Don't give me the Constitution. You know he violates the Constitution when it's convenient for him. He's violating the Constitution by not arresting the mayors of sanctuary cities, isn't he?
Well, maybe. I don't like that idea either, to tell you the truth. You know.
All right, well, let me tell you something. If I have a representative and two-thirds of them or more, or close to the majority in any case, in the House and Senate oppose granting a nuclear weapon to Iran, and this creature does it anyway, that's not democracy, my friends. That's a dictatorship.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage. 34 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. And I guess you could say we're arguing over Iran, the Iran deal. I want to remind you of something. Although the snake in the White House has won and the die is cast, I want you to never forget there is majority opposition in both the House and the Senate. Now, I understand that the Constitution permits the snake to override them. But this does not deny the fact that the majority of American people and their representatives oppose granting Iran the path to a nuclear weapon. So where is our democracy? Where does it exist? When you have a man like this who certainly can use the trickery that he has learned in school, that he specializes in, as any snake would. He learns tricks to get around the will of the people. How do you feel about a nation where the will of the people, and I mean the voting public, and I mean the tax-paying public, I don't mean the residents of Ferguson who burnt the city down, or the residents of Baltimore, I mean the people who work for a living. Never forget that we the people in every poll oppose granting Iran a path to a nuclear weapon. Senate majority oppose it. House majority opposes it. But the snake wants it. The snake is lying, and he says that they have no chance to expand their nuclear program. He argues that Iran will be curbed. Really, the terror-exporting radical Islamist regime is going to be given $150 billion? And what do you think they're going to do with it? Pay pensions to old pensioners in Iran? No, they're going to build nuclear weapons. They're going to build missiles. They're going to fund Hezbollah. They're going to fund Hamas. They're going to fund every terror group on earth, probably including sleeper cells here in the United States of America. This is the wrongest thing you could imagine. It will destabilize the entire world. It's already started an arms race. Saudi Arabia has already built up its military. Jordan built up its military because of this. So Obama is not as smart as you think. He's a skilled rhetorician. He's a sophist in more specific terms. That's with a PH, not an F. Sophist. He's very skilled at lying, at using words and sounding like he's telling you the truth. Referring to Israel and Arab states aligned against Iran, the liar said, quote, "We now have a regional power that is good at asymmetric and unconventional and proxy aggression, and that's something that we together can confront and stop." Really? How come he hasn't been able to stop ISIS? which is good at asymmetric and unconventional proxy aggression. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? The man makes things up as he goes along. Now let's go back to the poor woman in Kentucky, a poor, innocent Christian woman. Franklin Graham should be there with 10,000 supporters. Every Christian of any prominence in the nation should be outside that jail chanting no justice, no peace. They should take over the streets of that Kentucky town until that poor woman is released from jail. I live in the meanest, sickest city in the United States of America, maybe the world, San Francisco. On the face of it, it seems to be tolerant and beautiful, but underneath the surface, there is a hatred and a meanness that you have to experience by living here to understand. When this story broke yesterday, they put that poor Christian woman in jail who would not grant a marriage license to the gays, who did it as agitprop, by the way. They picked on this town specifically to make a point. You should read the blogs from the gays in the San Francisco newspaper. You should see the hatefulness, the vindictiveness, the viciousness of these wonderfully tolerant people. The minority sexual orientation apparently has not made them more tolerant. It's made them less tolerant. It's a disgraceful thing for them to understand what they are saying. They have no idea. If they could, they would throw this woman to the lions. If you were to post a story in the San Francisco newspaper saying should the clerk in Kentucky be taken from the prison and be thrown in a pit with lions, the vote here would be probably three out of four would say yes. That's the city I live in. Okay, let's take some calls on all these topics. I also want to talk about something I ended the show with yesterday, which is the Catholic confession. Remember the show? If you listen for all 3 hours, I change topics according to what I've eaten. And usually I have not eaten in hour one or hour one and a half. I eat around the middle of the show. And then I get so relaxed that my mind goes somewhere else. And I started to talk about the show Ray Donovan and how I so much liked the whole principle of Catholic confession. Even though I'm not a Catholic, I always liked it. And I thought about how brilliant it is. You go and you confess, the next day you can do it again. Because next Sunday you can confess again and it's free. And nothing happens. No one knows about it. It's fabulous. It relieves a person of their conscience is relieved. It's a brilliant idea. Fabulous. Then along came Sigmund Freud, who figured out, wait a minute, this is no good, it's free. Let me invent something where you have to pay by the hour. Now, I don't know what it was then, 100 guilders an hour, I don't know. But now it's $300-$400 an hour to confess to a shrink, and you're never cured. And you only get an hour, 50 minutes or whatever, and you have to come back week after week for years. And it costs you a fortune. And so you think about that. Think about which system is superior, confession or psychiatry. I would say confession works. And so I jokingly said, I don't know where the confession came from. I don't think it's in the Bible. I'm not sure it is in the Bible, by the way. But it was a great invention. And then people started calling me about the confession and confessionals. I thought that was a very interesting thing. We can talk about that as well later. And if you missed the third hour yesterday, I'm going to play the little piece that I did in a short version of it so you can join the conversation. Let's go to the callers. Joe on WMAL. Welcome to the Savage Nation. What's the topic?
Hey, Dr. Savage. The topic is the lady who was thrown in jail in Kentucky. I mean, I got to tell you, first of all, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I believe in traditional marriage, and I believe in marriage to be between a man and a woman. But I agree with you probably 99% of the time. But on this one, I think Donald Trump got it right, and I think you got it wrong. And here's the reason why. Do you remember the movie Sergeant York?
No. I mean, it's Gary Cooper, but I don't remember the plot.
Right. Well, Sergeant York had a similar dilemma. He was a Bible-believing Christian. He did not want to go to war based on thou shalt not kill. And in the end, he read his Bible, and I believe God gives us an out on situations like that when he says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and render unto God what is God's. And I think even though the jail term was not proper, I do not believe this lady should have went to jail, I think she she had an out from God. You know, that is the position, and even though she...
Well, let's forget God for a minute. I live in a secular nation, not a Christian nation, number one. And number two, she is being put in jail by a fascist dictatorship. The fact of the matter is, if the government had any compassion whatsoever for her religious beliefs, they would have said, okay, here's the compromise. We feel the law must be followed. We feel that we want to respect your right as a Christian and your personal beliefs as an apostolic Christian. And so we're going to do this. We are going to give you a leave of absence for a day or two. We're going to put another clerk in for a day or two who will grant the licenses, and then you can come back to your job at full pay. That would have been what a compassionate government does. But no, Obama with his black boot, the black boots of a Stalinist regime, has wanted to crush her in order to teach her a lesson and teach all Christians a lesson that nobody stands up to the Führer.
Well, I think this is a political loser. This is what the Democrats do every election. They get Republicans to bite on these religious social issues, and all it does is hurt us, and that's why we can never win an election. I think Trump...
Well, I could look at it the other way. I will tell you the opposite may be true. I will tell you that I think that Donald Trump made a mistake by sitting on the fence on this one. I think he could have done it in a Reagan-esque way, which he's been doing great with. And I think he should have come up with a plan that I just came up with. And I think he has probably lost a lot of fundamentalist Christian voters by not standing up for this woman.
Michael, I think you're going
to
be...
Somebody has to stand up to the fascist dictatorship, which is now crushing Christians in front of our eyes. Do you understand what they actually did to this woman?
I believe what happened was wrong. The punishment was wrong, but it is also my understanding that they gave her a opportunity to let her deputies sign the marriage certificates. And if that was the case, that's what she should have took. And her decision, although...
Oh, wait a minute now. I just gave you another solution. She said, God's moral law conflicts with my job duties. You can't be separated from something that's in your heart and soul. She's a devoutly religious woman. She has genuinely held religious beliefs. The fact of the matter is, they did not have to lead her out with U.S. Marshal thugs and throw her into a cold jail cell. If we had a compassionate government, in Loretta Lynch, by the way, our attorney general, or in Obama, whoever pulled the trigger on her, they could have said, give her a two-day leave of absence, put in a county clerk who will do it, or one of her associates, and then she can come back to her job. And if another gay approaches for a marriage license, she gets another leave of absence for a day, and then she goes. That's the end of the story. That way, the government shows that it's compassionate towards Christian people. I'm sorry, I disagree with you. This is strictly a lesson to intimidate Christians, because this government is the most anti-Christian administration in history. Never forget who advises them. The ACLU, the Anti-Christian Liberties Union. The ACLU, which has broken off war memorial crosses for my entire life in radio. The most devious, demonic, hateful people on earth are in the ACLU, all under the guise of liberalism. And so this is an extension of the ACLU again, using the trickery of the law to persecute a truly religious woman. That's my opinion. 855-407-2828. The judge told all six of Davis's deputy clerks that they must issue marriage licenses to gays, or else they will face fines or jail time too. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? And by the way, take a guess who appointed this judge. Are you ready for this stunner? Only I researched it. Raise your hand if you know who appointed this judge. George Bush. There's your liberal Republicans at work. There's her. There's George Bush's judge at work. This is unbelievable. This is a very sad day in America to see Christians persecuted like this. Judge Bunning was appointed by George Bush. Judge Bunning also attacked the woman's son. He looked at the son of the woman who he threw in jail and said, I want to ensure that orders of the court are complied with. I do expect compliance. He treated her like a low-life criminal, while those who burned the city of Ferguson to the ground were pardoned, while those who burned Baltimore to the ground were pardoned, while those mayors of sanctuary cities, such as Mayor Lee of San Francisco, Mayor de Blasio of New York, and all of the other shameful denizens of criminality, walk around amongst the free. not having been put in jail for violating the law. No, my friends, this is called selective enforcement. Make no mistake about it. There should be a million Christians outside that jail in solidarity with that woman. Look how brave she is. She actually did what many of you say you would do. She actually put her life on the line for her beliefs. She is like the ancient Christians who chose death rather than become a pagan in the Roman arenas. She is like the Jews who chose death rather than conversion. She is a symbol of all religion in the world right now that is under attack by the galloping atheism that we see across the planet. Now, if you want to be an atheist, that's your right. We live in a free country. It's not a theocracy. I get it. But these are Bible-believing people. Do they not have a right to practice their religion? Should they not be given a leave of absence if their religion conflicts with the law so that someone else can take their place for the day that it takes for a license to be issued to those desperate to be married gay people? We know how desperately they need to be married. You know how much they need to be married, how important it is to the movement. You understand that. It's all about the movement, the left-wing movement. Yeah, my friends, I knew it would come to this, only it's going to get much worse. It's going to get much, much worse. It starts out with the minority, whether they be sexual minorities or others, saying, oh, all we want to do is be free. All we want to do is be equal. Oh, please let us be equal. Please leave us alone. Please be tolerant of us. And little by little, before you know it, what you see emerging is the superior virtue of the oppressed. A great essay written by one of my great heroes at the time, Bertrand Russell. I was a young man. I remember reading that because I was a liberal social worker when I was at that age, and I loved Bertrand Russell. He wrote Principia Mathematica. He was a great genius. He was a socialist, by the way. I didn't pay much attention to that part of his life. But Bertrand Russell wrote The Superior Virtue of the Oppressed, which caught my eye. And as a young social worker, I read it. And he argued that once the oppressed get power, you see that they don't have superior virtue. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It's almost... Welcome back to the Savage Nation. So, how do you choose leaders? How do you choose a leader? What parameters do you use to choose a leader? Do you choose a snake like Hillary Clinton, who has a track record and a history of what we know who she is? She won't debate anyone. She's hiding from the public. How could you choose someone like that who hides from the public when we need full disclosure? You know, no matter what you may think of the Republicans, they're getting a grilling left and right. Right? Is that a good thing? Well, how about one grilling of Hillary Clinton by anybody? How could you vote for something like that? So you turn where? Where do you turn for a leader? Turn to the Bible, Exodus. Moses' father-in-law told him that if you have to judge everything yourself, you can't handle it. It's too heavy. And he said, I'm going to show you how to do it. He says, you shall provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating unjust gain, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And every small matter the people shall judge themselves to make it easier for thee. What does he mean by that? It means that a dictator should not emerge which rules over every aspect of a person's life. Do you understand how just the Bible is? Do you understand the wisdom of Judeo-Christian literature and law? Do you understand why this nation was built on it?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation, Bobby Darin, a dreamer. A dreamer, the envisionment of perfect love. Just as the dream of perfect liberty exists in the hearts of all Americans. There is no perfect love, there is no perfect liberty. So how do we choose a leader? Let's get down to brass tacks on the show. What do you think these debates are all about? We're trying to choose a leader. Now, there's one party that subjects itself to competition and grilling and vetting. That's the Republican Party. Whether you like them or not, they are open to debate. They're open to questioning. The other party is a closed communist dictatorship. Now, write that down. The Democrat Party is on the model of the ancient Soviet system. Closed system, no debate, no competition, only one Politburo member is selected. That's Hillary Clinton. How could you vote for a Politburo member unless you are yourself a member of the government or a member of a group that wishes to have a heavy-handed individual impose the will of the state upon people? So how did the ancient Israelites choose their leaders? I was researching this before the show, and I stumbled upon it in Exodus. It's short, just so you see. You know, when you hear it, the homily, this is a Judeo-Christian nation. All politicians will say that except Obama, because he said Muslims built America. The Muslims built NASA and such rubbish that you would hear coming out of the mouth of psychos in Iran. But nevertheless, when you hear the statement that this is a Judeo-Christian nation, what do you think it means? It means that it's built upon the Old Testament and then the following testament of the Christians, the Bible of the Christian people. So I look at the original testament, the Old Testament in Exodus, where Moses is talking to his father-in-law. And his father-in-law says to him how he should choose leaders. And he says, well, you're a good man, but the thing that you're doing is not good. It'll wear you out because it's too heavy for you. You're not able to perform it all yourself. He's saying to him, back off, stop being a control freak, Moses. You can't rule over every aspect of people's lives. Give it up a little bit. So he says, well, what should I do, man? He says, okay, teach them the way how they should live and what they should do. Moreover, he says to Moses, you shall provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating unjust gain, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let these people judge the people at all seasons. Here's a very important part for you to hear. You probably never heard this, anybody except biblical scholars. But I want to bring this to the show today. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto you, but every small matter the people shall judge themselves. So shall they make it easier for you and bear the burden with them. Do you understand what he was saying to him? He's saying, choose good men to lead the people, but let them judge only the big things. But on small things, leave the people alone, man, and let them lead their own lives and judge themselves. Do you understand what this is? You know how liberating this is? It's the opposite of what many people conceive to be biblical dictates, which is a sort of top-down theocracy that tells you every aspect of your life. The opposite was true. You see, you have to find these things. It takes me to do it because I'm trained as a scholar. I'm also deeply immersed in biblical lore. I never talk about it because I don't want to give you the right impression. Nevertheless, here we are. So now we're trying to choose a leader. So who amongst them would be the best leader? That's what we're trying to find out. We know Hillary Clinton is a disaster. She should have been disqualified based only on her Arab Spring policies. Only on the disaster of the Arab Spring should she have been disqualified. Let there be another Democrat stand up and be vetted by the American people. Let there be a vigorous debate amongst the Democrat Party, whoever it may be. O'Malley, Doofus himself, the VP, now says he can't do it. 2 days ago, he was going to be the president. Then he decided he doesn't have the heart for it. You hear this? They try to run him up the flagpole, and you know where it went? It didn't even get off the ground. So they said, tell him that you can't do it. The Schmendrick comes out and says, I can't do it. I don't have the heart for it. So who's left? Who's left? O'Malley? That Schmendrick they're going to pull up now? A would-be Putin showing his abs and his lats? That's his idea of being a leader? Who in the Democrat Party is able to lead us? None of them. They're only able to impose a dictatorship, impose the will of the government upon the people. At least the Republicans, you're hearing, if you, let's say you're a libertarian, which many young people say they are because they think it sounds good. They think that if you, they say libertarian, they'll meet more women. They won't be typecast. They're afraid if they go into a place and the woman says, what's your politics? They're afraid to say they love America. They're knocked out immediately. Then on the other end, they're afraid to sound that they're weak and that they're liberal. So they say they're a libertarian. If you get right in the middle, they don't know what it means. Sounds like vegetarian, unitarian. They don't know what it, libertarian. What does it mean? What does libertarian mean? I please don't call and tell me what it means. I'm doing this as a rhetorical situation for you listening to this major national radio show. But even if you are a libertarian or declare yourself to be such and even understand what it means, how could you choose a Democrat when the party is composed only of top-down bureaucrats who want to impose their will not only upon you, not only in the big things, but every small thing in your life? How much water you can run in your house, when you can take a bath, when you can turn the electricity on and off. Do you understand what socialism really is at its worst? Okay. So I've given you my opening. I told you the whole thing about these debates is about trying to vet a leader, choose a leader. In the beginning of hour one, I played a soundbite of Donald Trump, who is still my favorite candidate, on a show with an unknown, unrated wannabe talk show host from Salem Broadcasting, which is, as you well know, a liberal Republican media network, which is why the RNC and CNN chose this character to moderate the next debates. Why would they choose an unknown talk show host with no audience to moderate the debates unless he espoused the positions of the RNC? He is a Romney RNC machine operative. End of story. Now let's move on. The show is now yours. 855-400-7282. Vanessa, you've been holding from WDRC Radio. Welcome to the program. What city are you in?
Good day, Dr. Savage.
What city are you in, Vanessa?
Vernon, Connecticut.
Okay, what's your point?
Well, I'm glad to hear you say you depart from Trump on this issue, because this is the beginning of the end of Trump, and we are...
You know, Vanessa, you're a regular caller to every radio show in the country. Who exactly employs you?
Is that good or bad?
I just asked you, who employs you? You're on every radio show that I occasionally listen to. Somehow Vanessa is on under a different name in a different city. I just recognize your voice. I heard you on Rush Limbaugh this morning, didn't I?
Well, this afternoon, clarification.
You're one of those. I know you're a real BB, as my father would say it. Yeah, you were on Rush's show, and you were putting down Trump. Who do you actually work for?
I'm employed by the Ladies of the Left. This is a subgroup of Ferris and Friends on LinkedIn. And what we're doing is trying to...
Ma'am, I don't know your group from the toenail clippings of a giraffe. What is it that you want? You want to see Hillary Clinton as president?
Well, yes. We want Joe Biden. We've wanted Joe Biden for the last 8 years. We hope...
Why would you want Hillary Clinton, who has destroyed the Middle East with her failed Arab Spring policies? Please defend the Arab Spring policies.
We favor Joe Biden because we...
No, you're not answering me. And if you won't answer me, there's no dialogue. If there's no dialogue, it's goodbye, Charlie. Why would you support a woman who has inflamed the entire Middle East? Why?
Well, simply because of her anatomy. In other words, this is a woman's turn. In other words, one broadcast...
Right, okay, take a walk. This is a setup call. It sounds like a morpho. A little morpho call, a fake voice, number one, and a regular. Once you get a regular, you never have him on the show. Try to capture her voice and never have her on the show again. I heard Rush try to debate with her, but he couldn't. He was catching half of what she said, and it wasn't translated fast enough for him. And he was saying one thing, she was saying another. It became very painful radio. She'd say one thing, and he'd answer another. Whoever was typing typed the wrong answers for him. I mean, I like Rush Limbaugh. I'm just saying it was a nightmare to listen to. Now I said, wait a minute, where did I hear this whiny librarian voice before? I said, oh my God, she was under another name from Jacksonville, Florida. I have the best ear in the history of radio. And I actually listen to callers. So you want to call me, I'll listen to you. Let's go to another great caller. But let's cut back on the confessional calls. Alex, WMAL, line 5, What's your topic?
My topic is confession, what are its origins? And I think it is in the Bible, or at least its origins are, in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 22 to 23. Jesus breathes on the apostles, and he says, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, whose sins you retain are retained. And that's why if you look at all the ancient Christians...
Well, hold it. Let's pause right there. I don't deny that that's in the Gospels, but I don't see the confessional in the Bible.
If you look at the ancient Christian churches, like the Roman Church, the Greek Orthodox, the Coptic, all these ancient churches have a practice of confession, and they will all point to that verse.
Well, okay, so biblically, what century did the confessional begin, where there was the official booth with the mesh between the priest and the confessor? When did that actually begin?
The actual booth with the confessor, I think that actually started in Ireland in the Middle Ages, but I'm not 100% certain.
Well, that's very interesting to me. It's a great system.
Yeah.
It's a great system for relieving a person of guilt. The Protestants don't have such a confessional. The Jews have no such confessional. The Jews invented psychiatry. Thank you for the call. I mean, it's not a joke. I say it kind of in jest, but it's not really in jest. It's not really in jest. I know people are going to get really angry at that. But I think confession is better because it costs nothing. I said to you yesterday, I know a guy, he's about 70, 65 in England. He's been in therapy since he's 20 because he had a powerful rich father who made a fortune. This kid never worked a day in his life. He inherited a fortune. Never worked a day in his life. He's guilty as can be. So he goes to a shrink 4 days a week. For about 40 years now, 50 years, I don't know how long this goes on. I lost touch with him years ago. He's a very nice person. I loved him and his father, nice people. But he's in therapy 50 years or whatever, 45 years. Think if he invested that money in London real estate, what he'd be worth. He could have built on his father's inheritance, on the inheritance from his father, instead of complaining to the doctor that he can never be like his father. Okay, you know why I'm laughing? Because I already ate a piece of the tuna sandwich at the break. It came just at the top of the hour, and it was so good on the I don't like the bun today. It was dried out. But it was a pretty good... I already have the blood sugar running to the brain or running from the brain to the stomach. Whatever it is, I feel differently already. It's the Savage Nation. Let's go back to some of the sound bites where the unrated wannabe talker on Salem Radio set Donald Trump up for a fall and explains why he was chosen by CNN to be the next moderator. And that will be clip number two, where he tries to trap him with a stupid question about an obscure general. Listen to two.
Are you familiar with General Soleimani?
Yes. Go ahead. Give me a little. Go ahead. Tell me.
He runs the Quds forces.
Yes. Okay. Right.
Do you expect
his
behavior?
I think the Kurds, by the way, have been horribly mistreated by us.
No, not the Kurds. The Quds forces, the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Quds forces, the bad guys.
Right.
Do you expect his behavior to change as a result?
I thought you said Kurds. Kurds.
No. Kurds.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Kurds. Because I think the Kurds have been very poorly treated by us here. Go ahead.
Agreed.
Okay, so he trapped them by saying Kurds fast. And Donald thought he said Kurds. So that, got you there. Got you there. You should go home and chew his cud, because that's all he's good for. He's a goat. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is Rock and Roll Friday in the Savage Nation. Let's get back to work here. Now, the biggest sore loser of the Republican field is Rand Paul. I know many of you loved him, but he's shown himself to be less than leaderly-like, if there's such a word. Leaderly-like. He's not a leader. He came out with the toupee during the debate. That was one. We called him, he was like a Marx brother. So looks alone, he couldn't win. And a lot of it has to do with looks. You got to remember that. Trump is an attractive man, which is why women like him. Tall, good-looking guy, dresses well. The other guys look like Schmendricks. They look like they work in, whatever. I don't want to put anyone down. if you work for a living. This guy stands heads and shoulders above everybody else in looks. Then you got this Rand Paul guy. Wow. Listen to what he had to say, using a phrase from another unknown talk show host who accuses everyone of being a fake conservative, who doesn't, consort to his belief system. Listen to 12.
I also think Trump is a fake conservative because he's not really supported any conservative notions. He's for raising your taxes. He's been for Obamacare, and he's also been for taking private property from small property owners and giving it to him. That's why he pays so much money for politicians, is so he can get them to take people's property through eminent domain, and then he absorbs it into his casino business. So I don't think there's anything conservative about Trump.
I'm just jealous.
I think
these are the words. Now he sounds like a Marxist, doesn't he? Rand Paul just sounded like a loser in San Francisco who teaches at San Francisco State, who teaches Poli-Sci 101. There's something you'd hear in Poli-Sci 101 at SF State or San Jose State University. I'm sorry. He just blew it. Now, this Jeb Bush finished in clip 13. Listen to this one.
I think Donald Trump is trying to insult his way to the presidency, and it's not going to work. This is a diverse country. We should celebrate that diversity and embrace a set of shared values. And Mr. Trump doesn't.
All right. Whenever I hear the word diversity, I know it's a code word. This man continues to insult the majority of Americans. Never forget, there's still a majority in America, and they were just insulted by Jeb Bush. Yeah, we may be diverse, but there's still a majority. And the reason they didn't elect a Republican is because you spit on him. All right, so anyway, here's the good news. We know what this fascistic government just did to that poor woman in Kentucky. Instead of showing compassion for her religious beliefs and saying, oh, look, we respect them, but this law is the law. We're going to give you a two-day leave of absence. Then all of the gays who are so desperate to be married and have all the benefits and beauties of marriage can come and get married. We'll put someone else in there, and then you'll have your job back. But no, they wanted to make an example of her and destroy her. They wanted to crush her the same way Caesar and the other dictators of ancient Rome threw Christians to the lions. That's what your president just did after doing a little native dance up there in Alaska. Here's some good news, though. It's an obscure case, but bigger than that case. There was a U.S. Navy chaplain named Wes Motter. 20-year military veteran, a Navy SEAL. These are the best of all. This guy. Are you ready? A Navy SEAL, 20 years of service, 20 years in the Marine Corps, the Navy. Navy SEAL. He's a chaplain. And so his former commander, a snake, John Foss, F-A-H-S, brings in a gay officer underneath him for counseling. They set him up. And Chaplain Motter tells the gay setup guy that he doesn't believe in gay marriage during private counseling sessions. Just all he did was say, no, I don't believe it's supported by the Bible. Immediately the snake, the gay snake that they brought in to bring him down, goes and rats him out to the worst one, which is Captain John Foss, F-A-H-S. And the Navy now starts to persecute Wes Motter. They want him thrown out of the military. They want him brought before a board of inquiry where he could have been thrown out of the Navy. But instead, a wonderful organization comes along of the Liberty Institute, and they take his case, and they just won it. The Navy came out and finally agreed and protected his religious liberty. Navy said that his faith is okay. It's a great victory for everyone in America who supports military freedom. And, religious freedom in the military. Captain Foss, F-A-H-S, violated the Constitution, violated the federal law, violated military regulations, and I believe that Captain Foss should be given a court-martial for what he did. I'd like someone listening to this show who knows this case in great detail to tell me who Captain F-A-H-S is. What's his background? I want to know where he came from. I can sense immediately I can know where this came from. But the good news is this great American hero, U.S. Navy Chaplain Wes Motter, has been relieved of the burden of a court-martial and being thrown out of the Navy. But he needed a lawyer to help him, Liberty Institute. This is great. This is good news. And I spoke out for Chaplain Motter. Senator Ted Cruz spoke out for him. Governor Mike Huckabee spoke out for him. Senator Rick Santorum spoke out for him. President of the Billy Graham Evangelical Association, Franklin Graham, spoke out for him. And I'm proud to say that I spoke out for him. And I'm glad to say that the Navy did not destroy this man. His Marine and Navy SEAL commanders have called him a national asset. The best of the best. Chaplain Motter deployed overseas many times during the War on Terror, including in support of SEAL Team 6 and other Navy SEAL teams in high-profile operations around the globe. It's unbelievable what they try to do to him. To just show you the kind of persecution and the witch hunt that is now going on in the U.S. military and the U.S. Navy, Captain Foz should be investigated, and if he violated what I believe he violated, he should be given a court-martial and thrown out of the Navy. That's all. So that's good news. Let's have a round of applause for this situation. Yay, great. Round of applause. Little victory here and there. That's all we're going to get. All right, let's open the lines up. 855-407-282. I'll play a little rock and roll while you're calling on any topics. Have we played Dubs, Don't Ask Me to Be Lonely? That's sad. I don't want to hear any sad teenage. Yeah, that's sad. We could play something that's a little better, like Rama Lama Ding Dong, Oh My Papa. You want to really break into tears? Play Oh My Papa and Think of Your Dead Father. That'd be nice for Labor Day. Like, where's Dad? Why is he not barbecuing with me? I've been thinking about that since 1970 when my father died. I didn't get along with him. You know, we fought because we're both hard-headed. Two rams banging against each other their whole teenage years. Oh, and as a little kid, you know, he was my god. But then when I started to defy him and try to go my own way, forget about it. It was another age. It wasn't Life with Father with me. It wasn't Mr. Rogers with me. It was Heartbreak Hotel. Let's play Heartbreak Hotel by Elvis Presley, just for the heck of it, while people are calling. We could play Who Stole the Ding Dong by Arthur Kidd, if you'd rather. Louder. I can't hear it. I'm like, is there something wrong with my hearing, or is the equipment failing? We have equipment problems. We've been working on it for 2 months now since they moved studios. The sound fades in my ears, not yours. He could be a spokesman, you know. Alden, I just realized something. After his poor performance in this round of debates and stuff, Rand Paul, since he's finished, garnished, zero. Rand Paul, a spokesman for the men's hair club. And say, look what it did for me. I got into the presidential debate. That's all he's left with now after this, with his good ideas. So we're talking about the elections, the clerk. We're talking about Kentucky. We're talking about this. We're talking about that. Wes Motter, I asked for someone who knows the creep who brought that down upon him. You know. No, don't book anyone from any institute. I already covered it. By Tuesday, no one will know about it. All I can say is thank God for the Liberty Institute and the other incredible legal organizations that go to bat for people like this in the military. Really, I once gave a lot of money to one of the groups, and I've lost contact with them, but they do really the best work in this country. Great stuff. It's all law. It's all law. It's established law. It's established law. Remember her when she came along? How did they ever pick her to be on the Supreme Court, I asked myself. What was her name when she said it's established law? When they were giving the grilling before she was appointed, when they asked her about the Second Amendment, which one am I talking about? Who? She's not on the Supreme Court, Robert. I hope that didn't go out on the air. I mean, I really don't want to exist. I've been telling you about how Square Trade Protection Plans can save you hundreds of dollars. Turn off the rock and roll. I don't want it. No, you, who. I have a caller on the line, Dominic, who was a lawyer for 45 years who represented organized crime members, and he says that they got fairer treatment and do get fairer treatment than the clerk in Kentucky, that the gay fascist movement right now is trying to crush Christianity in America. That's what he said. Listen very carefully to what this is about. This is a seminal case in our lifetime. This poor woman is being persecuted the same way that Christians were thrown to the lions. Now, this gentleman, I don't know him, Dominic, we're having in Dallas. Dominic, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Dominic, you are a criminal defense attorney right now?
Yes.
Nothing of what you said went out on the air, believe it or not. I'm sorry to tell you. Can you repeat what you said about organized criminals in the similar situation and how they're treated?
In numerous occasions, I would represent organized time figures, and they would try to hold them in contempt. The way they really did it is they would put them in front of a grand jury and tell them to ask questions and give them immunity. When they refused, they would put them in front of a judge to then hold them in contempt. They would get adjourned 10 times. We'd fight over the questions. The judge would have a hearing and then have another hearing. Now, by the way, this is one of the most important cases in the history of our country for another reason. You see, this issue has been already before the courts. How? Well, when a woman goes into a hospital and demands an abortion, and the hospital says, a doctor says, I won't do it, and a nurse says, I will work on it, then they find other doctors that will. They don't force a doctor or a nurse to do abortion. Why don't they put them in jail?
So you agree with me that Obama and Loretta Lynch are persecuting her? They could have given her 2 days off and put someone else in there to grant the licenses to the poor gays who were so desperately needing to be married, and then that would be the end of the problem. Couldn't that be the resolution?
Well, brilliant to say it, and I'll give you another solution. Why don't they that day have a deputy do it? Because they want this issue met.
Yeah, why don't they have a special gay marriage day? Okay, there you go. Special day for gays to come in, and so that Christians like her don't have to violate their religious beliefs. This is a broadside against Christianity. I don't understand why. I see it for what it is, and Franklin Graham has not said a word. Where are the Christian religionists on this, Dominic?
Well, I see it as a political issue because they want the gay vote. You know, the gay vote is a very high percentage of voters. They vote 60 to 70 to 80%. And their votes this way, the Democrats can claim, look, we stood for you. We stood for your rights. It is very political. And of course...
Let me intervene on that for a minute. Of all people, the gay community should recognize what fascism can do to them. If they are cheering today, they will be crying tomorrow. Of all people, they should be defending this woman's religious beliefs, not celebrating her being thrown in jail, Dominic.
By the way, I did the first gay adoption. I did the first gay adoption where both parents had a sperm donor. So this is not a gay issue for me. This is an issue of private rights and the rights of an individual to say no. And, of course, they ran away publicity-wise, tried to say, well, she's been married, and she's born again now. That's what she believes. And I'll tell you, they put her in jail, in a federal jail. Why? It's a state issue first. Make the state enforce the right for the gays to marry. That's their business.
Why? Dominic, I want to tell you there's more to this than you may know. Did you know what this judge did after he told her to go to jail? He lectured her son and said to her son, I want to ensure that orders of the court are complied with. I expect compliance. He yelled at the son of this woman. Do you know that?
Well, no, I don't. And I assure you, within 3 to 5, before Obama leaves his presidency, this judge will be appointed to a circuit appeal, an appeals position, because that's unheard of. Unheard of to speak to that woman's son. And by the way, who will be brought to task if this woman's assaulted or raped in the federal prison? Which, by the way, how could that happen? It happens. Women get more raped by other women than men do in prison. This is unheard of. She's in prison. How could this be?
It's frightening to think that minorities in the gay community, or gays who consider themselves minorities, sexual minorities, are persecuting a woman like this and don't see where this will lead. That they themselves will wind up suffering from this kind of overbearing fascistic behavior by a federal judge who was appointed by Bush, as I said. But again, Dominic, I don't want your first statement lost to the audience. It's very important. You're a criminal defense attorney. You have represented organized crime figures for 45 years. And you say that they're almost never put in prison at such an initial phase of a crime, so to speak. That's even if you consider it a crime. There are many, numerous appeals. She was given no appeal. She was thrown right into prison. How is that even possible, Dominic?
Well, how can an appellate, how can a lawyer not immediately, I'm not saying they're not trying, the letter out pending appeal. This is an issue. And look at all scales of justice.
Dominic, can I ask a question? I'll make an offer on this show. If I raised the funds, which I could do overnight for you, would you represent this woman?
No, I can't. I don't practice in that state. But I will tell you this, that I would very much like to get some lawyers down there. You know, the ACLU should be there screaming and shouting, but unfortunately they're too locked into the issue of enforcement.
Unbelievable. This poor woman is in prison. Kim Davis was thrown in jail because her beliefs forbid her from gay marriage, performing a gay marriage. And instead of permitting her to take a two-day leave of absence and then put in someone else who would do it, they threw her in jail and then threatened her son in court that the law must be followed. And the gays are cheering across America. It's frightening. It is frightening.
Religious belief. Remember that. His Supreme Court reversed this conviction based on religious belief.
Hold, Dominic. Reversed whose conviction?
When Cassius Clay Muhammad Ali got convicted of refusing to join the army.
Oh, when he refused to go into the service.
Right. And they took that up to the United States Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, you know what? He has that religious belief. By the way, he got that belief like about 6 months before he was drafted.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, instant revelation from Muhammad. I get it.
But they said, in belief, he has a right, and they set aside his criminal conviction. Remember, he got convicted.
Dominic, are you still practicing law in New York?
No, not now. I'm retired. I'm over 72 years old.
So what? What's 72? That's a baby yet. Hey, Dominic, listen to me. I got to talk to you a little further. Is there any chance you could stay and give my guys your email? I want to communicate with you and learn more about this. So when I come back to radio next week, I can elucidate these legal principles a little more clearly. It's the Savage Nation. Boy, did we just learn something about the fascism of Loretta Lynch and Barack Obama. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You know, we had a caller at the end of hour two, if you just tuned in, that I wish I could have talked with him for another half hour. He identified himself as, his name was Dominic. I'm sure it's not Dominic. Maybe it is. And the minute I heard his voice, I thought I recognized it. And he said we would recognize him, and he doesn't want anyone to know who he is. He's a mob attorney and has been so for 45 years, representing major figures, major crime figures. And he's outraged by what Obama and Loretta Lynch just did to this poor Christian woman in Kentucky, throwing her in jail because she refused to grant marriage licenses to gays. And you know how important it is to be married for gay people. I mean, the minute they're born, they want to be married, as you well know, and they must be married, right? I mean, this is more important than anything on earth, is that they be married. That's always been the primary reason for the gay movement, is marriage, as you well know. And so they could have said to her, look, you're wrong from the point of view of the law, but we want to respect your right as a Christian, so we're going to give you a two-day leave of absence. We'll put someone in there who'll do it, then you can come back. That's what I came up with, and he said that's a brilliant conclusion. Donald Trump, unfortunately, took both positions on that one, and I disagree with Donald on that in hour number one. I'm not going to agree with someone day and night on everything. If I don't agree with them, I'll tell you that's that simple. I think his position is untenable on that issue. I think my position is more tenable. And Dominic, the lawyer, confirmed that my way of doing it was better, but he said, listen to me, if an organized criminal figure was dragged into court on whatever the charge would be, they would never be put in jail right away. And if they were, they'd be out in an hour. they'd be out in an hour pending appeal. He said, we'd block it every which way to Sunday till they actually put her in jail. So here we see a country now doing to a poor Christian woman what was done to poor Christian people by the Romans. She was thrown to the lions. And not one word has been heard from the Christian community so far. I haven't heard a word. All of the vociferous Christian preachers in America should be outside that jail this weekend, making sure she's not raped, making sure she's not mistreated, and demanding her immediate release. Every liberal civil attorney, every civil libertarian, every prominent First Amendment attorney in America, and there are many of them, should be offering to take her case and get her out of jail immediately, pending appeal. I haven't heard anyone go to bat for her because she's just a poor Christian woman. That's what went on. So that's a big topic. I'm going to go to my website now for hour three and take a look at some of the stories that we put up. Top right, michaelsavage.com. Hispanic agitator attacks Trump bodyguard from behind. And we have the picture to prove it. A Hispanic thug attacked Trump's bodyguard, and the bodyguard then gave him a good headlock job and gave him a bum's rush. Very militant, these La Raza types. Thugs, third world thugs. U.S. airman who helped stop Paris train attack gets grand welcome home. Obama had nothing to say. He was up there doing an Alaskan dance. Iran commander, we're preparing to overthrow Israel. And he vowed to block inspector access to some sites. This is while your Muslim president is giving them the bomb, going around Congress. Trump meets Savage. If you missed the interview on Wednesday, where Trump made news and he said he would bomb the ISIS training camps and tariff China's products, you can catch it for free on michaelsavage.com website. Let's see. A couple of good stories right underneath that. South Florida woman arrested for botched penile enlargement that left patient mutilated. I won't read that on the air. It caught my eye, and I was reading it, and I read it and read it because every man, you know, has this fear. Something will happen like that. You go in for a tonsillectomy and you come out and the guy says, whoops, sorry. You go to have a mole removed and you come out and he says, oops, sorry. So you go to have your tone. Every man protects that part of his body. You know that. Hungarian prime minister says Muslims threaten Europe's Christian identity. And he blocked the trains from coming in with the Muslim refugees. What else? Iron Maiden star blames oral sex for his cancer. I think I'll go right past that one. I've heard rumors about that from a lot of guys in their 40s and 50s. They're blaming the women, though. They're always blaming women, though. He says it wasn't the smoking and it wasn't the drinking. You hear this? That's the latest thing they're all saying. And let's not call on that, please. But it's an interesting story. We know it's a virus, HPV, but, you know. On top of that story, this is one I got out of the Times of Israel this morning. A Palestinian rescued Jews from a Palestinian mob in the West Bank. And he says, I'm no hero. You know, this guy is in a lot of trouble with his community now. Palestinian man, listen to this story. Group of fanatical, really orthodox, orthos. They go to Hebron, and they want to worship at Hebron's Cave of Patriarchs, which is under Israeli control. And the five students, all from Brooklyn, wearing very heavy religious garb, make a wrong turn on the way to Hebron's Cave of the Patriarchs, and all of a sudden they're attacked by the peaceful, loving Palestinians. Those who would... See, I love you people who say the Palestinians want peace with the Jews. Here's an example of what they would do without peace. So they throw rocks, stones, firebomb their car. The car goes up in flames, and the poor Jewish kids, they're as innocent as lambs, these guys, if you know them. They don't know how to defend themselves. They're defenseless. Purely religious people. They go running, and a guy comes out of Palestinian and says, come in here, come in here, come in here. And he locks the door and puts them in his house for safety and gives them a glass of water, and he says, don't worry. As soon as we saw the mess starting up, my family and I took them in, gave them a glass of water, and tried to explain that nothing would happen to them, that they didn't speak any Arabic. And then the Israeli Defense Forces had to come in and take them out of there and, rescue them from the peace-loving Palestinians who firebombed their car. I'm worried for this guy. The guy is 51 years old, Faiz Abu Hamadiyah. He took the five Jewish students into his home to prevent them from being lynched. You hear this? Lynched. And you want to give them a state. You hear this? They want to lynch these guys for just wanting to pray there at the tomb. It's an amazing thing. It's on the website for the Times of Israel. You can see the video if you're into that. I couldn't stop watching it. You know, I can't take all the ads that pop up now. They're driving me crazy. You go on certain sites. I don't go on Breitbart anymore. The minute I go on it, I get a pop-up in the eye. I can't take it. Can they stop with the pop-ups? Certain sites you can't go near. Drudge I can do. I can't look at Breitbart. I go on Breitbart, I get eight pop-ups. I spend more time taking out pop-ups than looking at a story. And the others, pay now, you get nothing. I'm glad you looked at it, now you owe us money. I'm glad you like the headline, send a dollar a second. Look, either you pay or you don't pay. I'm not paying. Other stories. Let's see. Iran devils get their deal. Fascist state jails Christian clerk for refusing to issue marriage licenses to gay couples. Big story. Huge story. Huge, 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 big story. And those of you who don't understand the subtleties of the story, you should understand that the state is a fascist state for doing this to this poor woman. What about others who refuse to follow federal laws, such as the mayor of San Francisco or any mayor of any sanctuary city? All you big mouth liberals ready to call. You ready dialing? You're dialing 855-107-282 to tell me, well, aren't you a conservative? Don't you believe in following the law? How come Obama and Loretta Lynch have not jailed the mayors of sanctuary cities who are violating federal law? Why is the mayor of San Francisco not in prison? Why is Mayor de Blasio not in prison? Why is the mayor of Villa de Rosa, of L.A. not in prison? Why are the mayors of every sanctuary city not in prison for violating federal law? Haven't thought about that one? Didn't make it to your local rag? Well, now you know why this show is so prominent in America, because I have insights, and they're good insights, and it helps you analyze things in a different way. That's all. Next case, let's move on. 855-400-7282. Phone number, michaelsavage.com. Website, new book is called what? You know the name already? It's not out yet. Government Zero. First printing only, available online. God, it's Labor Day weekend. I'm traveling. I'm doing an interstate travel. No, intrastate commerce. I'm traveling south for a few days. Same weather here as in San Francisco. Thank God it cooled off. I was almost dead here. I could not take the heat. I'm not a Florida guy. I got a place I never go to, a beach place. I don't go to it. I can't take it. A gorgeous. And it's heartbreaking. I can't go there. I die in Florida. I die. I say it's like sticking your head in the pizza oven. Okay, in the winter, yes, I could go there. But outside of the winter, it's like sticking your head into a pizza oven. You gag. Think of a pizza oven with humidity. That's Florida. A pizza oven with humidity with mosquitoes. That's Florida. I can start to build on that now. A pizza oven with humidity, mosquitoes, and people who look like lizards. That's Florida. Lizard people. A pizza oven with humidity, with mosquitoes, with people who look like lizards, and refugees from New York City who go to early bird dinners at 4 in the afternoon with fake pockets in their raincoats to steal things off the buffet. We can keep building it. You got to go to Florida to understand how crazy this really is, this place, the land of the hanging chad. They got trick raincoats they sell down there for all the women who come from Brooklyn who they go to all-you-eat buffets. The Indians run out of the state after a month. They don't know anything. They never saw anything like it, like locusts. Okay, you can have an all-you-eat buffet in San Francisco. People will respect. They'll have one, two visits, and top, then they get embarrassed. Unless they are leaf blowers. Then they leap till the bones line up like a mastodon, like a pterodactyl hit the forest. I see bones hitting the plate in this Indian guy's. I don't know how they stay in business. I told them, put a sign up in your buffet that says two visits only. Then you have to pay extra. Or they bring a kid in, and they feed him on the side for nothing. I don't understand it. They're such nice people, the Indian people. They work so hard. They must make a living out of it. They eke out a living. It's sad. But in Florida, though, they don't have such problems. The women from Queens, Bronx, and Brooklyn who move down there and vote in two or three states as many times as possible, they have trick raincoats that they buy in. I think they buy it online, Gertz Online or something like that. And they come with special insert pockets waterproof inserted pockets. So when you go to a buffet, even in the heat, you can take food like meatballs and throw them in there without even a baggie. Then you get home and you take it out and you got dinner. You got the sugars, you got the salts, you got the pepper. The sweet and lows are a big hit. Oh, they go for the sweet and lows. They clean them out of the sweet and lows. You notice there are no sweet and lows anymore on the tables in most restaurants? They clean them out like locusts. Those pink packets and the rolls. God forbid you go into a deli with them and there's a basket of rolls left over at the end of the meal. Right into the gullet. The gullet pockets. It's like the gullet pockets inside the raincoats. That's who put Obama in office, that type. That's the truth. Did I run down through a whole stop since? I'm having a good time again. It's, you know, it's a funny thing. I like the third hour now. It's like a different pace. I slow it down. I change the subject matter. I get a little more relaxed. I get a little more humor comes into my, because by now the blood sugar's up. I had the tuna fish sandwich already, but not what I would make, like with the mayonnaise, that garbage from a can. I found the joint, finally, after all these years, a takeout place that has a tuna patty. But I don't know. I don't know what it's made of. How old is it? Where did it come from? I love when they say line caught tuna. What does that mean? Like a hippie tuna. Couldn't wait to be caught. Couldn't wait to be caught and eaten. Line caught. I'll have to investigate where it's frozen, what nation it's actually frozen in before I eat another one. I didn't sleep well last night from it. All right, I'm moving on and rambling on. It is now time for you to call 855-407-282. We have exactly one open line. Grab it. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Used to be played on one of the major networks before the news. I'd be chomping down my dinner on a folding table in my little house in Queens. And listening to the evening news, and I'd listen to the syncopated clock. I didn't know who Leroy Anderson was, and I didn't know he wrote the syncopated clock in 1945 while serving with the U.S. Army. I was a news addict even as a kid. I know I have lots of clocks in all of my residences, and anyone could have a watch. Those are easy to have. I'm talking old-style clocks with pendulums and bells. It's something to behold to try and get those things to run right. I am not a clocksmith. My father was. In part, he could make them run. It was amazing. Sit there with the oil and the glass. I admire it. I just never learned how to fix the springs and this. But the world ran on those clocks for centuries, and they're works of art. And I to this day have it. I remember when I was writing Abuse of Power, I took my propensity for clocks, and I put them into the Jack Hatfield character. I said that he had slight Asperger's, which I don't have. And I wrote about that he was a clock expert. It's interesting. I was looking it up. I can't find the exact page in Abuse of Power. That was a very good novel. The truth was Jack Hatfield was something of a loner. He missed some of the friends he'd made at the network, friends who had largely abandoned him out of concern for their own careers, but he had never had much trouble spending time with himself. Just as Tony Antonori had his limp for fear it might signify weakness, Jack did his best to disguise what really amounted to a mild case of Asperger's syndrome, an aversion to social interaction. He craved order in the world. Anyone with a keen eye would notice this. When he was a child, he would line his shoes up under his bed, only to become upset if he ever found them out of place. He kept weekly journals of his activities, developing skills that served him well in his older years as a reporter. And taking on a career as a war correspondent was his own personal version of therapy, plunging him into a world of chaos in hopes that he might somehow make sense of it and find a way to rid himself of this demon. My novel, Abuse of Power.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Result of Hillary Clinton's thing there, I forget, Arab Spring, whatever she called it. As a result, Syria came apart, Libya came apart, Egypt almost came apart. Now they're flooding into Europe in an unprecedented wave of migration that I don't think has been seen in our lifetime. Hungary is blocking them from coming in, saying that Muslims will destroy the Christian basis of their nation. Hungary bows to defiant migrants, promising buses to the border. And, you know, I was watching German television last night, a German TV show, a news show. All liberal like you here would stand up. They make CNN look conservative. That's how bad they are. One psycho left-wing babbler after another saying, and the headline was, I forget exactly about, it said, migrant crisis, hate or help. You see, they made it very simple for you. Either you accepted all these refugees who want to come and live off the land, off the fat of the land on welfare, food stamps, or you're a hater. Does it sound familiar to you? They have their rhetoric lined up, just like us with the Mexicans, the Guatemalans, the Chinese, etc. Hate or help? In other words, you don't want to help them? You don't want to give them all these benefits? Well, you're a hater. And I sat watching the show, and all I could think of is, why don't they invite three or four of them into their own house, open up their own homes to them? The day a liberal opens up their house to a migrant is the day I'll believe a word that comes out of their mouth. The day one of the billionaire liberals from Hollywood invites migrants onto their yachts in the Mediterranean and begins to pay their fair share of taxes, I'll believe a word that they say. So please, you know, open your eyes. We're all nice people. The fact of the matter is that there's a limit to how many people you can take into a nation until a nation goes under and you all drown. WJR Dave, what's your point? You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I was calling to make a point regarding the mental illness known as LIM, Liberalism Infected Mind. I never understood why there are rich liberals, super rich liberals that hoard their wealth versus helping the needy and the poor. Why can't...
I can explain it very easily to you. Let's use a few examples. Hillary Clinton's a super wealthy liberal, isn't she? John Kerry is a super wealthy liberal, isn't he? George Soros is a super wealthy liberal, isn't he? Nancy Pelosi, one of the wealthiest liberals in the world, isn't she? Dianne Feinstein, one of the wealthiest liberals in the world, isn't she? You ask yourself, why are they liberal? Because if you have centralized control of a government, which they run, they can make the laws which don't affect them. They can set the tax bases, the tax structure up so they don't pay their fair share of taxes. I mean, what more do you need to know? It's the same as in the ex-Soviet Union, where there was a ruling class and then a lower class with a very small or almost non-existent middle class, which is exactly what's emerging in the United States of America today under Obama. I wrote about all of this in Stop the Coming Civil War and expound upon it in Government Zero. They have run a non-stop war against the bourgeoisie because their philosophy is that of Marxism. Karl Marx attacked the middle class. He called them the bourgeoisie. He demonized them. Just as the middle class is being demonized by Black Lives Matter, just as the middle class is being demonized by every left-wing fanatical group in America, there is only one end that they wish, and that is the destruction of the middle class, the emergence of a ruling class, and the rest of us should be peons or peasants. Any other questions? I have the answers. I'm Michael Savage. The phone number here is 855-407-2822. How come there is no debate in the Democrat Party? All you liberals like to think... And I'm baiting you now. Well, you're not going to answer anyway. What's the point? People always do this in talk radios. You know, like we have these straw dogs out there. You're not going to answer. I don't even think liberals listen. And you make believe, oh, liberal audience listens. You know, I'm so brilliant, and they must hear the other side. They don't listen. Their mind is made up. What do they listen to you for? But let's say there's an imaginary liberal out there who listens to me. How could you vote for Hillary Clinton when you know what a disaster she has been as a Secretary of State? Let's say I could vote for a Democrat. I could accept you could vote for a Democrat, but a patriotic Democrat, a rational Democrat, not a fanatic, someone who puts America first. Show me one Democrat who does that. One, please. How could you vote for someone who destroyed the entire Middle East with her policies? Moreover, who was covering up her disastrous behavior as Secretary of State? How could you vote for her? How do you have any... The answer is you don't care. You're not listening anymore. They're gone already for the weekend. I could see by the Telos keyboard. People ask me why I use a certain type of equipment in my shows since 21 years now. And I've always used the Telos keypad. They say, you don't need that. You don't need to see the lights blinking. So I have like 10 lines, and I could see by the lines blinking how many people are calling. And it goes up on a screen. And I can judge whether you're reacting to me or not by the blinking lights. Would you believe it? It's a feedback mechanism. I'm the only show in talk radio who uses no headphones that I know of in talk radio. I used them when I traveled to New York because they didn't have the system I set up with a Clear One unit. I'm giving you, like I used to use a Gentner system before that, which is a sound suppressing system. See, I actually hear your calls when you're talking to me and the rest of the caller universe out there on a speaker. They're not on my, that's why my ears are still perfect. I have perfect hearing. Perfect hearing after 21 years in radio. Most radio hosts are deaf. They're somewhat deaf. I'm not laughing at anyone. You wear headphones every day of your life for 10 years. Your hearing's affected by it. Even when I listen to music, I won't use headphones. I won't put them on my ears. Today, buds they use, whatever. No. I'm Mr. Natural. I try to retain naturalness everywhere I go, if I can. So I don't use headphones. I don't like anything in my ears. I don't like rings on my finger. I don't like watches on me. I can't wear anything on my body. Maybe that's another one. Edit yesterday for a psychiatrist keeping notes. Let's see. When he was 11 years old, he joined the rifle team. He was reading hunting and fishing magazines at 11. He was obsessed with guns. He was a Boy Scout. He put his shoes next to each other under the bed. He polished his shoes in the morning. Let's see. He likes clocks. Add that one to it. Add that what I just said. You get a complete picture of the personality. See if you can medicate me so I can become a robot like you and all your other patients. What do you want to medicate everyone's individuality for? What's wrong with you people? Why are therapists so stuck on making everyone the same? What kind of field develops that they want to take snowflakes and melt them into slush? I thought we were all unique. Wasn't the liberal mantra that we're all unique, we're all such snowflakes? Well, now that the gay people have come along, suddenly want to crush Christians, they don't like that snowflake? And what about the other people whose snowflakes you don't like? I thought we were all unique and all individuals. Now that the liberal fascists are running everything, suddenly want to turn you into slush and step on you with dirty galoshes. Anyway, that's one man's opinion. How could you support her? How could you liberals have any self-respect and support a candidate like her? Moreover, how could you have any self-respect and vote for a Democrat, a party that has no debates and no field of candidates to choose from? What kind of country are you living in? Say what you will about Republicans. Vigorous debates, vetting at every level, tough questions even by so-called conservatives. There were this guy Hugh Hewitt, who interviewed Trump, as I started with the beginning. This guy is an unrated wannabe talker on Salem Radio, which is a liberal Republican media network, which is why CNN and RNC chose him to moderate the next debate. He's a nobody. He's always wanted to be a player. He isn't. He's on a Bush League team. He's not in the major leagues. He's not in the NFL of radio. So why do you think they chose him instead of, let's say, Rush Limbaugh to moderate the Republican debates? Because he's a stooge of the Romney RNC machine. So he set up for Trump with that call yesterday on the Quds and the Kurds, trying to act like a real wise guy. It made him real smart. It made him look like what he is. Not a third. See, this is where I told Trump that I sent him a note. I said, you call this guy a third-rate talk show host? I said, I disagree with you, Donald. He is not a third-rate talk show host. He's an unrated talk show host. He's always wanted to be a player. He never became one. Listen to clip number three on the Savage Nation.
When you say Kurds versus Kurds, I thought he said Kurds, his third-rate radio announcer that I did a show. It was like, gotcha. Every question was, do I know this one and that one? And, you know, it was like he worked hard on that.
Yeah, they wrote it for him. The RNC wrote that. The policy wonks who want to undermine Trump told him to take that interview. I would have advised against it. You don't go on a Bush League radio show. That's all. You stay with the NFL players in radio. Then you take their questions. Did you hear that one yet? I played that one yet. Play clip one for them if they missed it. Here is the would-be unrated wannabe talker on Salem Networks, which is a liberal Republican media network, a part of the Romney RNC machine trying to destroy Trump, trying to act like wise guys in clip one. Listen to it.
On the front of Islamist terrorism, I'm looking for the next commander-in-chief. to know who Hassan Nasrallah is and Zawahiri and Al Julani and Al Baghdadi. Do you know the players without a scorecard yet, Donald Trump?
No, you know, I'll tell you honestly, I think by the time we get to office, they'll all be changed. They'll be all gone. I knew you were going to ask me things like this, and there's no reason because, number one, I will hopefully find General Douglas MacArthur in the pack. I will find whoever it is that I'll find. But they're all changing you. You know, those are like history questions. Do you know this one? Do you know that one?
I don't believe in gotcha questions. I'm not trying to, you know, quiz you on who the worst guy in the world is.
Well, that is a gotcha question. First day in office or before then, right? The day after the election? I'll know more about it than you will ever know. That I can tell you.
I hope so. Last question. So the difference between Hezbollah and Hamas does not matter to you yet, but it will.
It will when it's appropriate. I will know more about it than you know. And believe me, it won't take me long.
So this guy, who you never heard of because he's not on any major stations, is on a Bush League radio network. And all you need to know about this guy who set Trump up with this stupid question, which is classic low-grade intellectualism asking a question about when the Eastern Mongols became Buddhists. Excuse me, Donald Trump. Can you tell us when, in what century, and in what year the Eastern Mongols became Buddhists? Like the Chinese. And can you then tell us when the Western became Muslim? By the way, Mr. Trump, since we're going to be dealing with China, can you tell us when the Chinese threw off the rule of the Yuan dynasty? And by the way, Mr. Trump, I know you're going to deal with China and you're going to be the commander-in-chief. Can you tell us when they set up the native Ming dynasty and when it flourished? And by the way, Mr. Trump, can you tell... This is what he did. This is what passes for a talk show host. Now you understand why he's a Bush leaguer. Why no one listens to him, no one ever heard of him, and why, moreover, why the RNC and CNN chose this guy to be the next moderator. I mean, I wouldn't even go to that debate if I were Trump. I would refuse. He doesn't need to stand there with the rest. See, if I were Trump's advisor, which I'm not, I'd say, you know what, you're so far ahead of the pack, your absence would speak louder than your presence. Don't go there. I don't see Hillary debating anybody, do you? When have you last seen Hillary debate anybody? Where they dig up Candy Crowley from an old age home somewhere, put her on a Jenny Craig? When has Hillary ever taken a question on any fundamental issue? When? Who would be commander-in-chief? Why don't you ask her about the generals? She probably knows a lot about those generals, since she conspired with them to make sure Benghazi fell to them. Some would say. 855-400-7282. What else do you want to talk about? So they put this poor Christian woman in jail. That's a big topic because she wouldn't marry gays. And as you well know, they all need to be married. So it's so important to the culture that they come from marriage. They couldn't wait to be married in Kentucky. And they picked on this poor Christian woman who has no money. And then this fascist judge, appointed by Bush, by the way, immediately orders her to jail. And I had a caller last hour who was a mafia lawyer, let's say a mob lawyer, let's put it that way, who said in all his years representing organized crime, and criminals of the highest magnitude, he has never seen them put in jail as quickly as this poor Christian woman. They violated every tenet of the law as it is practiced in this country. You can thank Loretta Lynch and Barack Obama for steamrolling this Christian woman. It is a lesson to Christians. They're doing to her exactly what was done to Christians in Roman times. So instead of throwing Christians to the lions, they threw into a federal lockup where he said there's a high likelihood she will be raped. That there are more women raped in federal prison than there are men raped in federal prison. There's your Justice Department under the new peaceful Loretta Lynch. There's your peaceful president doing a rain dance in Alaska to prove that there's global warming. I'll be back. It's the Savage Nation. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. You're live with Michael Savage. So a federal judge appointed by Bush threw the poor Christian woman in jail for not permitting licenses for gays in Kentucky. The question now is, should Sheriff Murky Kami in San Francisco be thrown in jail for not enforcing federal immigration laws? Sheriff Murky Kami refused to enforce federal immigration laws, and yet a federal judge didn't throw him in jail. They haven't thrown the sanctuary city mayors in jail. So you say we're a nation of laws. Yeah, really? Which laws? Whichever ones you want to interpret, I guess. This just came out as some breaking news. You probably haven't heard it yet. The murderer of Kate Steinle. Okay, you know who he is. San Juan Francisco Lopez Sanchez. Shot her in the back as she walked with her father along the waterfront. You know the story. Deported five times. Says he found the gun and it went off by itself, which is BS. Automatics don't go off by themselves. A judge just ruled minutes ago that a man, at the center of the national immigration debate, a man, will stand trial on a murder charge in the shooting death of the young woman. That's the headline in the Associated Press. They're so sick at the Associated Press, they belong in a nut house. Immigration, listen to the headline. Immigration figure to face San Francisco murder trial. Yeah, immigration figure. They're sick. This is what comes out of journalism schools. Lopez Sanchez had been deported five times. Five times. And Sheriff Merky Comey refused to keep him in prison. Why has a federal judge not thrown SF's Sheriff Merky Comey in jail for not enforcing federal immigration laws? Why? Because it's a twisted system, sister. Well, that's it for the Savage Nation pre-Labor Day show. I hope you've enjoyed it. Big weekend ahead. I'm flying south for a few days to enjoy California while it's still California. Yes, indeedy. Los Angeles, here I come. The city of angels. I'll ask them to intervene on behalf of America. This is the Savage Nation. See you.